Good afternoon.
It is loud.
For those that don't know me, my name is Dennis Williams. I'm the president of the United Auto Workers, UAW. In February, the UAW was gratified to earn the confidence and support of many of the Volkswagen team members. At that time, we said that we would not give up on these hardworking employees, and we haven't. We commend Volkswagen for its continued commitment to Chattanooga and to Tennessee. The reality is Volkswagen is a successful business model, is based on an innovative form of co-determination and employee representation. This is a standard practice for Volkswagen team all over the world. We're hopeful that the state of Tennessee will recognize the value of that approach. The world's second largest car maker should not be required to change its business model or disenfranchise its employees in order to do business here in Tennessee. Put differently, the state should encourage business models that work, and Volkswagen's business model definitely works. Looking ahead, the UAW's focus is on Volkswagen employees, the company, the continued job creation in Chattanooga. In March 2014, the International UAW, IEB, authorized a local union charter for the employees at Volkswagen here in Chattanooga. I'd like to recognize Ray Curry, who was part of that process. Ray is the newly elected director of UAW Region 8, covered here in the South. Now I'd like to introduce Gary Castile, who was named UAW Secretary Treasurer last month. And Gary is the director of the International Transnational Department.
Thank you, Dennis. Good afternoon. The reason we're here today is to announce the formation of UAW Local 42, a local union run by and for the employees of the Chattanooga plant. We've had an ongoing discussions with Volkswagen and have had arrived at a consensus with the company upon UAW 42, Local 42 signing up a meaningful portion of Volkswagen's Chattanooga workforce, we're confident the company will recognize Local 42 by dealing with its members as a member union that represents those employees who join the local. As part of this consensus, the UAW is committed to continuing the joint efforts with Volkswagen to ensure the company's expansion and growth in Chattanooga. Advocating for the addition of new product line in Chattanooga remains a top priority for the UAW. We're hopeful that the state of Tennessee will extend to the state and federal incentive funds that are needed to make the economics work for this new product line. That's why the UAW withdrew its election objections in April to end the controversy and put the focus where it belongs, obtaining the economic incentives necessary to ensure the growth of Volkswagen in Chattanooga and the addition of a new product. We are encouraged that the state of Tennessee has assured the public and Volkswagen workforce that the granting of the incentives for Chattanooga is not related to whether workers exercise their right to join a union, and that is the right decision. Now it's time for a fresh start. We call on opposing voices to allow the employees, Volkswagen, and the union in Chattanooga to move forward, free from continued attacks and interference. We've put the past in the rearview mirror, and we're focusing on the future. For the good of Volkswagen, its employees in Chattanooga, we hope that others are as well. Excuse me. Now I'd like to introduce a few folks who represent the most important voices in this conversation, the hard workers, hardworking employees of Volkswagen.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Kay Gray, and I work on the assembly line at Volkswagen. The message I'd like to deliver today is this creation of Local 42 isn't about Washington, Detroit, or Nashville. This is about Chattanooga and our team members at Volkswagen. This is not something being done unto us. This is something we're doing for ourselves and for our coworkers. When I first came to work at Volkswagen and heard that we might have the UAW in the plant, I was uncertain, like a lot of people. But the more I learned about the prospect of a union, the more I wanted this opportunity. Being part of the creation of an American-style works council is a chance to do something new and different. to secure good jobs for the future of our plant in Chattanooga, and to build lasting partnerships between management and team members. The anti-UAW crowd will claim that the union is pushing its way into the plant. That's not true. The fact is, Volkswagen has opened the door for employees to seek representation of their own choosing, and we are taking advantage of this opportunity. Many of us voted in favor of this in February, and I appreciate that Volkswagen is the kind of employer that values its employees. I am thankful that the UAW didn't give up on us when the going got tough, and I'm very, very proud to be one of the very first members of Local 42. Let me turn this over to Walden. Thank you.
Good afternoon. My name is Jonathan Walden. I work in the paint department out at the plant. Everybody up here has a different idea about what having this local is going to mean to us. One of the most important things to me is the educational opportunities that it's going to provide to us. Better training, job security because of that training. We will be making the best cars in the world because of the education and training that is going to be afforded to us through our collaboration with the United Auto Workers and with Volkswagen. Understanding that history and the education along the lines of history, we appreciate the fact that these men and women have gone through so much in the last 80 years to get us to the point that we're at today. And I just don't know how else to say thank you to them and everything they've done for us. But we are excited and we are so ready to move forward and work with the company and really make Chattanooga the place to come to work if you want to work in auto manufacturing. Now we're going to turn this over to Gary.
Okay, so you've heard from the workers, and you've heard from the team members here that stand with us, and you've also heard from neighbors in Middle Tennessee who have told the real UAW story. So you haven't heard from the UAW people in Middle Tennessee who have a history with the UAW. So we're going to show you a short video that we prepared to show the real story of the UAW in Middle Tennessee.
The UAW leadership.
Maybe we're not going to show a video.
UAW members in this plant are taxpayers, they're homeowners, they're friends and neighbors.
The UAW is that voice for working men and women. They have been there in the past, protecting benefits and protecting jobs.
I believe in the union, and I care so much about it. The UAW has been my lifeline.
General Motors and the UAW created a powerful partnership to support community causes.
The people that I represent are just good, hardworking, ordinary American citizens that want to come to work every day, support their families, and you're going to find out the community is going to be a lot better off for being involved with the UAW.
I know what the UAW has done for this region by investing in the workforce here. Once General Motors came to Murray County in this region, the population really just started growing. The real estate market, they put a lot of money into the community. Fire stations were improved. Police departments were improved.
The housing business has boomed. Land is doing extremely well in terms of the valuation. Everybody in the area is asking us, you know, how can we possibly get into the plant? We'd like one of those jobs.
Their job is to try and keep jobs here in America, where Americans are working.
Columbia, Spring Hill have all grown since this GM plant was here. Brought a bunch of people here, suppliers.
There will be an announcement here very shortly that this plant will add two brand new products, and they'll be launched right here in Tennessee in the Spring Hill plant. It'll create between 1,800 and 2,000 brand new jobs. That's a done deal. That agreement was reached in the collective bargaining process. The union was the major advocate for that. These products were going to be built in another country, and the union negotiated to make sure that they were in this country and the jobs would be created in the state of Tennessee. Our members came here 25 years ago. One of the first things that we did was our people became very involved in the community.
People that work in the plant, the people that are the leadership with UAW, they're your Sunday school teachers, they're your basketball and Pop Warner coaches, and they're the people that serve on local boards in the community.
To United Way of Maury County, it's very important that we have the UAW payroll deductions in their contributions and that they contribute in that manner, because that is where we get our major source of funds.
Our local union is made over $1 million worth of charitable contributions in this community, and it's been our members' dollars.
We give back a lot, not only money-wise, but help-wise. If there's anything that's going on and somebody's asking for help, we're there. We built a park area for the kids. It's called Kids Kingdom. We had people that would go out to different areas where a disaster was to help.
I mean, our people really do care about what happens in the communities, and they've been good citizens here.
If the UAW was not here, if the GM plant were not here, there would be a void, a loss in the community. There is a presence, and it's a presence of helping.
In 2009, credit collapsed. Everything was very bleak there for a period of time. That was at a time that Wall Street was on the run.
If it wasn't for the UAW during this tough economic downturn, there wouldn't be a GM plant in Spring Hill today.
The union played a critical role in job security and making sure that our members had had jobs, made sure that this plant was here, advocated to the congressional leaders to make sure that our facility was here when the improvement in the economy occurred.
And we had many meetings with General Motors and the UAW leadership. And one thing that I'm proud of is that every time we sit down at the table about the future and about bringing a product back to this area and to this plant, the UAW Local 1853 and the leadership there was with us. And when nobody else was fighting to get a product back in this plant with us, the UAW leadership was there for us.
As I came to Saturn and I joined Local 1853, I got more involved in my union, which I've held a lot of positions in the union. The wages are great, the benefits are fantastic. It was a great collaboration. I mean, the union, we had a voice in the day-to-day operation, and we would not let anything go out. If we felt it wasn't good, it didn't go. And when I see the cars was driving down the street, I said, smile and say, wow, I helped build that car.
During our darkest days, the workers in UAW Local 1853 and at the GM plant, they didn't get down and give up. You know, they listened to the leadership at the UAW, and they went back to work trying to improve their skills by getting education, because they had confidence that the UAW and Local 1853 would get them back to work. And we had many meetings with General Motors and the UAW leadership.
It's very apparent that we're all in this together, that when the union succeeds, the business succeeds, the workers are paid a fair day's wage and they get decent benefits, and everybody wins in that process. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the most basic American value is to have a job and be able to go ahead and feed your family and be able to send your kids to school. And those are the basic things that people want.
And the UAW put Spring Hill on the map in the auto industry.
You have a group of people coming together to make your community stronger and a better place to live.
The value system of the state of Tennessee is something that aligns perfectly with the value system of the UAW. The UAW is about kids, it's about growth, it's about education, it's about people having a chance to do better in the economy.
Once you commit yourself to the UAW, you'll find out how good the UAW is to you.
Okay, can we get the light back on? Okay, thank you. Now you've heard from Volkswagen team members, you've heard from neighbors in Middle Tennessee who have told the real UAW story. Now let's make this official. On this table is the charter for Local 42, the document that will formally establish the union, and we earlier stated that this has already been chartered and approved by the International Executive Board of the UAW. Under UAW bylaws, it takes 15 signatures in order to form the local. With that, we'll have a signing and try to do this in as orderly a possible way as you can. Very fitting we have a female first.
Yes, it really is.
Come around from the end, just do it in an orderly fashion. It's apparent we have enough signatures, and we're going to continue to let the employees sign as we move along here. And I want to make an ad hoc comment here that's not in the script, and that's that these employees being able to stand here in front of the media and sign a petition to join a union is a novelty, especially in the South, but in the United States as a whole. They don't fear repercussion, they don't fear intimidation, and that's a testament to the relationship between Volkswagen and the UAW, and I think it's just something that should be noted and taken record of. So I commend you, the employees. So with that, we're going to open the floor to take any questions from the press. Dennis and I will share the responsibility, and we'll also, if needed, call upon any of the employees that we need to. So with that, the floor is open.
Will there be a physical office here in Chattanooga?
Yes. To really be clear, this local will be just like any other local in existence. It will have the same. It'll develop its own bylaws. It'll elect its own officers. There's a formation. The structure of the local union and the formation process is well defined in our Constitution, and they'll go through that just like any other local. And in the past, there are other unions have done similar things, but it's always been to the tune of an associate membership. And these are true members of the UAW. They have every right that any other UAW member has, and I'll go ahead and answer a question that's probably on somebody's mind. And it's an administrative policy of the UAW that there's no dues collection until 30 days after the first collective bargaining agreement is reached. So for now, there will be no dues collection to these employees. It's a long-term commitment by the UAW that this local will have a treasury and the finances to operate under.
Where
Right here.
Yeah. For now, right here is fine.
Right here. The IEBW has been so good. We're great partners with them, and they've said that we could house ourselves right here, so welcome home.
They've also made mention of the fact that they have some acreage next door. So maybe it's an expansion involved.
There's just a media report that you guys are being formally recognized by Volkswagen. The Volkswagen's been quoted saying that they don't have a formal agreement with you. What's the difference there? Is that true?
The comment by Volkswagen, we've had discussion with them about that today, and they're speaking to the fact that there's no formal they're not formally involved in the creation of this local, and that's true. It's independent to the UAW. That's the trade unions. There's a first part that's also that quote, and it said that trade unions, just like anywhere else in the world, are free to do this, and that's what their opinion is. And how we progress forward, I said a couple of times in my statement that we have a consensus. This is not something that the UAW is doing unilaterally. It's been thoroughly discussed with VW over an extended period of time. As you noted, we said that this local was chartered by the IEB back in March. And certainly we've had many discussions and interactions with Volkswagen since then. They're fully aware of this happening, and they're fully engaged in the discussion about it.
Why do you think that this effort is going to succeed, whereas the effort in February didn't quite succeed?
The main reason, I think, is because there's no election involved here. There's no opportunity for third-party interference. It's well documented all that went on around that election, and we're not going to go back there, do that again, and we're not going to talk about it a whole lot. We said we're focused on the future, and that's where we're going. These employees can talk to their fellow employees. You know, we can demonstrate that we had a majority of employees in June. We went from there to making the decision with Volkswagen to have an election. We ran that election, and the employer and the union, there was no infractions, there was no controversy. All the interference came from outside. And so there's no sense in going through that process again. We have a consensus with VW. These workers can talk to their coworkers, and if a substantial number of those employees decide that they want representation, then VW, I'm sure, will recognize and deal with that local union. So,
you know,
it's a math question.
You know, let me add to that, because the one thing from our experience throughout this country, I don't care if it's in the South or the West or East or North, when these employees and UAW members now starts that relationship building with inside their facility and starting to have partnerships with the company and working out resolutions to problems. And, you know, somebody said something about health and safety training. We're going to provide them as much education that we can to train them the best way we can so that they can have dialogue, so they can have interactions, so they can have relationships. That's going to be the success of this local union. Local 42 will be successful, and I'm confident of that, because these employees, UAW members, they are dedicated to making the best product possible for Volkswagen. So I'm confident in that.
There's an issue of the Works Council's viability that has to be dealt with over a period of time. Nothing has changed about the necessity of a trade union to form a Works Council under U.S. law. That's a well-known fact and well-documented. So what will end up having to happen is we can start the discussion about how a Works Council could be worked. We're committed to that process. We actually have a document already developed that talks about how the Works Council would be formed and what its responsibilities would be, but it will take a union, this local union, to negotiate that responsibility to that Works Council. So that's something that has to evolve over a period of time. It's not something that can be done as a flashpoint. It's going to have to be an evolution into that structure.
That's not state law. That's federal law.
And we don't have to have a vote either.
No, we don't have to have a vote. No, no. That's a negotiating process, and that's the way it'll be formed and the way the company and the local union will be addressing it as they formulate their local union, and as they grow in numbers, then they'll start talking on a bigger scale about works council. It evolves, like Gary says. But it is a federal law, and there's a good reason for it. Federal law protects so that employers cannot dominate a committee to the point that they have no say. It's like a false voice in the workplace. That's why you have to have bargaining representative to balance that. And that's why it's successful in Germany, and that's why it will be successful here. Well, I think it's important for these employees, for one thing, right, to have representation, have a clear voice in the workplace. People tend to forget, or they just don't think about the fact that every day these workers go to work, they do dangerous work on that line. And if you don't have representation, if you don't have a true voice in the workplace, it can be a very dangerous place. And part of our responsibility, not just as a union, but as society and a corporation, is when that employee leaves that house, they ought to be able to come back to the house without being harmed. We've had some fatalities lately you have to stop and think about that. That's important in itself. But in the auto industry, which is one of the great industries of our country, right? It's an icon industry in our country. Has located in the South. I was involved in organizing Mitsubishi Corporation in Illinois. I've seen the growth of that plant. I've seen the growth of its employees and the partnership grow. The plants are located here. It's important for us to organize them. But more importantly, it's important to this country that workers have unionization, so they can lift up the standard not only of their own, but their community and the people around them. You've got tax bases for education. You have tax bases for your police and your fire departments. It makes cities grow. That's why it's important.
Folks, we're coming down to the bottom of the hour, and our members need to either get to work or get to their families. So a couple more questions, and then I know Dennis and Gary will be happy to hang behind and talk if there are any additional ones. But a couple more questions before we wrap this event and break for a couple of minutes.
So just real quick, what's going to be different about having a local here as opposed to what you all have had here over the past few years? I know you talked about education, mm-hmm. but what else will the office be doing in addition to that?
Here in the local, you mean?
Oh,
the local union is going to be like any other local throughout the country. They're going to be involved in their community. We're going to go ahead and give them all the expertise we can to show them how to do that. But they're going to self-govern in a lot of ways, just like many of our locals do, all of our locals do. Our Constitution is very clear about the autonomy of a local union and the interaction of the international union. So, I make no hesitation to say that I have the confidence in these local union members that they will interact with their communities, they will contribute to charitable funds that are in people that need help, we do throughout the United States. They will collectively engage with their employer to better people's lives within the workplace. So, I don't see it as different. I see it as fresh here for Chattanooga, but these people are ready. They've been here a year. We've been talking to Volkswagen for a couple years. We know each other very well.
Can you explain just how common or rare it is to establish a union in this way after a vote sale?
Well, years ago, prior to Gary and I really being officers or on the executive board, we did it this way many, many years. Prior to me, I was an organizer in 1988. They used to do it prior to that. They established local unions, and then they tried to build there. So it is not the first. We have not done this for many, many years. When we were down here in February, it was very obvious to us that the 48% of the employees here wanted a voice in the workplace. It was very obvious to us that we had a unique relationship with Volkswagen. And so I think it was just a great idea that Gary Castile came to the executive board and proposed it. So that was good. It was a good thing.
So with that, we'll wind it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So with that, we'll close the press conference. Thank you.
Okay, everybody sign that once.
Thank you, guys.